I want to talk today about gratitude. Today being Mother's Day, most of us take at least a couple of minutes to call Mom and say, thanks for being Mom. For those of you who forgot it's Mother's Day, you should call Mom. But it interests me, I guess, that we set aside a day as Mother's Day. Most of us, though not all of us, are deeply appreciative for what our mothers did, but I think that because they're always there, we take them for granted, and we forget to say, Mom, thank you very much for doing what you do. And so it's good that we set aside a day to actually say thank you to Mom. But believe it or not, that attitude of gratitude is a biblical one. 138 times in the Bible, it deals with thanksgiving. It is a fascinating thing to me, I suppose, that mankind in our frailness has figured out a way to even be grateful wrong. How do you mess up being thankful? Well, let's look at an example. In Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9, we read, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. There is a thankfulness that comes across as boastfulness that actually lacks gratefulness in it. When we give thanks, we need to give thanks being thankful, not being boastful to people who can hear us. Now, there is a consequence to not being grateful. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, for even though they knew God, they did not glorify God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They did not glorify God or give thanks. And if you would like to see the repercussions of not giving thanks, read the rest of that chapter. It's not pretty. Those are some people who are going to face some consequences for failing to give glory to God, for failing to say thank you to God for the blessings that they have. So, let's take a minute today to think about those things for which we are grateful. And those things for which we are grateful come in many categories. I've gotten five today. It's not an exhaustive list by any means. I just five general categories of things for which I am grateful. Material blessings. It is right and appropriate that we are grateful for the things that we have, because we know from whence those blessings came. I thought about my house, my car. I just like to brag, for my car has 157,000 miles on it. It's still running. Thank you very much. That stokes me no end. Clothing. Well, I walked in this morning, and Sister Cotton, she says, well, I won't have problems seeing you. Sister, when I'm 101, if I'm seeing that well, I will be grateful to God too. I am grateful for the country in which I live. For those of you who don't know, I was a military brat. I've lived in a lot of different countries. And we do live in the greatest country in the world. I have a lot of books. Those of you who have ever been over to my house know that. And I'm grateful for those books because I have books on just about every subject imaginable. And I have collections of certain books on topics I enjoy. I have a lot of them. And if you ever need to borrow one, just let me know. I'll let you come see the library. And you know what? For as hard as I work, as many hours as I work, I still have time for hobbies. And I'm grateful for those too. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We need to be thankful for the things that we have because we know from whence they came. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 13 says that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. That's a gift of God. And further on in Ecclesiastes 5:19, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. Now you have to understand, this is a group of people who are living in Canaan. They walked into Canaan and they slaughtered the inhabitants who had worked very, very hard to plant the vineyards, to build the cities. The Israelites walked in and enjoyed the fruits of somebody else's labor because the Lord didn't choose to bless those people with the fruits of their own labor. We need to be grateful for those things with which God has given us. Now, people who make a difference. In my life, those two folks up there make a huge difference in my life. For those of you who don't know, that's my wife and son. My life would be a very different place without them both. And I am grateful for them in my life because they bless my life immensely. But interestingly enough, this past couple of weeks, I have been fascinated. For those of you who don't know, this woman up here on the left, that's Miss Bernard. She is the wife of one of our elders. And the lady sitting in the bed beside her is Lauren. That's her daughter. When Lauren posted that picture on Facebook, hundreds of people not just clicked the like button, but commented, thank God that she's doing that well. To me, that's a fascinating thing that one person, Miss Bernard, affected enough people that they were thankful to God that she was well after a stroke. How many people in your life are you grateful for? Me, I'm grateful to see Brother Foreman. I know that Brother Foreman, when he gets here, for you don't know, Brother Foreman is sitting in the back corner back here. He struggles to come. It's hard for him to get up and get moving and get out and get here, and he is here every week. And Brother, truly, I appreciate seeing your presence. I do. We have a sister who's not here this morning, Kathleen Withers. Excuse me. I am blessed by seeing her every time she shows because it is an effort for her to come. It is an effort for her to get dressed and show up here, and she is here more Sundays than she's not. You know what? Brother Paul was thankful for people too. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 says, I thank God with whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers nightly and night and day, greatly desiring to see you. Now, right up there in that particular passage, he's talking about Timothy. It's Timothy that he's thankful for. I am thankful to God for your presence in my life. How many people do you tell them, really, I am thankful that you are in my life? We need to be thankful for those folks. We have an example in Luke chapter 17 of gratefulness versus ungratefulness. Let's start in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to praise God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go, for your faith has made you well." There are times when we are amazed that people are not thankful. I kind of like this picture, because in this picture you can still see the other 9 going, while the one comes back to say thank you. All 10 of them were saved from a lifetime of misery and a miserable death. Interestingly enough, in this morning's Bible class, we talked about whether or not leprosy still exists as a disease in the world. It does. And only one guy came back, and it wasn't even a Jew. This, by the way, is one of 4 times where Jesus in scriptures praises a foreigner for doing something that the Jews should have done. It is interesting to note that if you watch little children, most of the time, if just one of them will remember their manners and say thank you, the rest of them will all of a sudden remember theirs and also say thank you. And in this case, we have full grown men, 9 of them, who just kept going. Number 3. So far, we've got material things, we've got people, and now being grateful for churches. In Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 28, we read, "Therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters. Thank you, God, for this place to meet, for faithful people who come to encourage us every day, every Sunday. Faithful churches are something for which we need to be giving thanks. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints." Now the "you" in that particular passage was the body at Ephesus. As I said, as a military brat, I traveled around the world, and it was fascinating to me that I never went anywhere that I couldn't find a body of Christ with which to worship. And it was a comforting thing to me to know that I could walk in to a group of complete strangers who were worshiping God, and I would fit in. For those of you who have never been there, it is a tremendous sense of comfort. Well, what else should we be grateful? Life's storm seems a strange thing for which to be grateful. I liked the little ditty, and it says, "Good timber does not grow with ease. The stronger the wind, the stronger the trees." In James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, we read, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. You ever found yourself in circumstances for which you didn't wish to give thanks? I have. I walked out of a building the other day and it was raining. It was not a hard rain, it was just a steady soaking rain. Another lady walked out beside me and said, "Oh man, it's raining, I'm gonna get wet." And it just sort of tickled me. I said, "Honey, the thing for which you need to be grateful here is that it's not hailing. Because the weather forecast for the day called for hail. This is just rain. It's not going to dent your car or your head. You're good. Let me go ahead and be grateful for the things you have." Sometimes it's harder for us to do that than at other times. Sometimes the things that we're going through in life change us completely. There is a short passage that I wish to read you from some secular science that has to do with this picture. The process of metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly consumes an amazing amount of energy. This is evidenced by the fact that the difference in weight between the adult butterfly when it first emerges from the time around 3 days after the chrysalis is formed as the butterfly weighing about half of what it did before. Considering that it is an enclosed system, including waste being trapped within the chrysalis, nearly the only place for that weight to go is to be converted to energy and subsequently used. Once the metamorphosis is complete, butterflies use a special liquid which is formulated to soften the chrysalis. Once softened, they use their sharp claws to claw their way out. And after they emerge, they begin the process of expanding and hardening and drying their wings. And this process can take several hours, and it is a time when the butterflies are extremely vulnerable. But without that process, that caterpillar will never become the butterfly. Interestingly enough, we know very little about the nervous system of a caterpillar. But essentially, that caterpillar turns to liquid to perform this metamorphosis. Many times, those storms in life are preparing us for something else. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, we read, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation." Now, I'm going to keep going, but I want you to note something that just struck me as odd as I was going through this. He says, "But understand what the will of the Lord is," and then immediately follows that with, "and do not get drunk." One of the fascinating things about drunks is how little they understand. If you've ever watched the YouTube channels of drunk people doing things, namely getting arrested, it's amazing how many of them turn into lawyers after they've been arrested. "I know my rights." And usually they're wrong. Understanding the will of the Lord and being drunk with wine are fairly disparate occupations. "But rather be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." This idea of being thankful for things, thankful even for the trials, it runs throughout the New Testament. What else are we thankful for? Are we thankful for the salvation that we've been granted? Because Jesus was willing to go to the cross. Brother Willie this morning talked about Doubting Thomas. You know, it's interesting. Jesus says, "Nobody took my life, I laid it down." And I'm grateful for that. But perhaps as much as anything, I am grateful for the fact that Jesus, after 3 days, raised again. Because you know what? There were a lot of dead people. There were a lot of people who died on crosses. But there was only one who raised up again that's going to meet me in eternity, who's going to be my arbitrator. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 56, says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, showing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." This cartoon sort of struck me as interesting. For those of you who can't read it, the guy who's treading water says, "You're crazy. I don't see how that can save you." And the guy grabbing hold of the cross as a hold of the top of the con tower of a submarine, he's standing. He's not treading water. And it's true. The bottom of it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I am grateful for my salvation, and I am grateful for yours as well. I am grateful to God that you guys give me an opportunity to come up here and to speak to you, and to give me the opportunity to study and then teach you some of the things that I've studied. It is an interesting thing that I usually learn more than I can teach you in the time that I have allotted. Why do we exhibit an attitude of thankfulness? Why are we grateful? Or why should we be a grateful people? Believe it or not, the Lord answers that question. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, he says, "All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." People watch us. They hear what we say. They see what we do. There was a sign I saw on a church bulletin board or a church sign out front that said, "Be careful how you're living. You may be the only Bible people are reading." For what are you thankful? This afternoon, as you're going to lunch and you're having conversations with people, might be an interesting conversation topic. Now, don't neglect the concrete items on the list, but you might also want to move into the more abstract. I was once thoroughly embarrassed in a seminar by this type of a question. There's a man up front said, "Okay, I want everybody to write on a list the things for which you are grateful." Now, at the time, I guess I was about 7 or so, and I had just gotten a new pair of boots. And so I was grateful for my boots. And then he called on some other people who were grateful for some more abstract kind of things. And really, my mind was not on abstract. I was wearing my boots. I was very happy with them. And so I was embarrassed when he got to me, because they had said, you know, they had gone to the abstract first. They were grateful for their moms, their dads, that kind of stuff. And there I was sitting with my boots, and I was thoroughly embarrassed for that. And in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have been, because I was grateful for them. But you know what? The concrete and the abstract both need to be on your list, because God gave them both to you. But I guess that one thing that you need to conclude with is salvation on your list of things for which you are grateful? Do you have salvation? Do you know how to get that if you don't? If you don't already have salvation, if you want to come down front while we're standing and singing, we have elders here who would be happy to explain it to you. We have many of the brothers and sisters here who are knowledgeable in the Word and can help you understand how to get that salvation. If you'd like to know more about it, feel free to come to the front as we stand and as we sing.